Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful morning. Sunshine this morning and a beautiful rain last night. We thank God for that. I want to welcome each and every one here this morning, the ones that are listening in the parking lot or later on online. I want to welcome you to this worship service. For an opening passage this morning, I want to read out of 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, by that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. At the beginning of these verses, it states, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. The knowledge. How do we get knowledge? We need to spend more time with Christ. So today we're going to talk about having a closer relationship with Christ. But before we do that, let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so gracious and so kind to us. We thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins and for sending the Holy Spirit that we can have that communication line with you. We thank you, Lord, for being so good. We thank you, Lord, for the rain that you have provided for us last night and for the sunshine and the heat that the crops and everything could grow. Please continue being with us, Lord, and be with us this morning as we meditate on your word, that we can have open hearts, that we can take in your words and can draw us closer to you. Be with us this morning and give us strength. In thy precious name, amen. At this time, we'll have two songs.
In the blue hymnal, number 118, 'Tis the Blessed Hour of Prayer. 118.
Come to him in faith, his brother. 157, The Lily of the Valley. Page 157.
Wonderful fitting songs for the service this morning. Thank you. Last week, the message we had heard from Reverend Jay was love about Christ, deep love that he has for us. He truly loves us. So today we're going to talk about the relationship that we can have with it. That Jesus Christ. He had so much love for us that it should be our desire to have a good and deep and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. When someone calls us friend, we usually don't have a very hard time being friends with them. We spend more time with them and get to know them better, and we enjoy their time together. Jesus calls us friends. So how much more would it be if he calls us friends that we would want to spend some time with him? John 15:13-15 reads as follows. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Here we clearly see that Jesus calls us friends. He says not servants, for servants don't know what the other is doing. We're not working for him. Some people think that we serve God because he makes us serve him. It states here, no, He does not. He's our friend. So because we're friends, he's friends with us, we're friends with him, it is a privilege to serve him in whatever capacity we can, because we are friends. So there's two men in particular we're going to look at this morning that had a very strong and intimate relationship with God. And the first man we're going to look at is Job. We all know that story about Job and how he was tested. We're not going to look at the whole book because that would take too long. We're going to look at the first 12 verses of Job. Job 1, 1 to 12. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God for their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. In verse 1, we read that Job was a perfect and upright man, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. What does eschewed mean? The highlights in my Bible said shunned evil, or in other words, walked away from evil or pushed evil aside. He had no desire for evil. That's how deep-rooted he was with God. He had a great relationship with him. God blessed Job greatly because of the love that Job had for God. Satan came to God because he was walking back and forth on the earth, seeing who he could tempt next. Then the Lord said to him, if he had ever considered my servant Job, God would have not said that if he knew Job did not have a strong and intimate relationship with him. At this time, Satan had said back to him, "But you had put a hedge around him to protect him. I can't touch him." But God said he was strong enough. God knew Job had a strong enough relationship is why Satan thought there was a hedge around him. It wasn't that he had put a hedge. Job had done that himself. He had made his relationship strong. God knew that Job had a strong enough relationship with him that he could withstand the temptations that Satan would put in front of him, even though it would be very tough. I don't know if you feel that way sometimes, but I know I do. The stronger I feel I get closer with God, the more Satan tempts me and tries me to see if he can persuade me to come his direction. Yet Job withstood the temptation Satan put in front of him because he had a strong relationship with God. Therefore, God blessed him at the end with twice as much as what he had before. Job 42, verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Through the struggles that Job went through, he had now seen with his own eyes how good God was and how good of a friend he is and how he'll protect him. He just hasn't heard now with his voice. He had also seen it. Through all this and a close relationship with God, he had heard his voice and had a deep relationship with God, but now he had seen the evidence of what God can do and who God really is. Do we have that relationship with God, that we have that deep and intimate relationship with him, that we can actually feel him helping us or lifting us, carrying us, possibly through tough times of our life? I know most of us probably have gone through a tough time or two in our life. And when we pray to God and allow him to uphold us and take control of the situation, I know I felt that in my life where I felt, how can I do this? And yet I knew God was carrying me through it. That is a relationship that we need to have with Christ. The second man we're going to look at is Daniel. We all know that story as well, but we're going to go to Daniel chapter 6, verses 7 to 16. Daniel chapter 6, 7 to 16. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governor and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true. according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judea, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. We know the rest of the story, that God did deliver Daniel. But here we see that Daniel had a very good, strong relationship with God. He spoke to God three times a day. That seems to have bothered some people, and no matter how they had condemned him or persecuted Daniel, he was going to talk to his God as many times as he wanted to. That was not going to stop him. No decree, no nothing. It didn't matter what was going to happen, it was not going to stop him to talking with his God. So they made a petition with the king so that if anybody talks to their God, they will throw him in the lion's den. And when Daniel heard of the petition being signed, he went into the house with open windows and prayed to his God anyways, the same as he had done before. This was not going to stop Daniel of having a relationship with God, the one that he knew could deliver him from the lion's den. The question for us today is, do we have that relationship with our Heavenly Father, the King of all kings, the one that died on the cross for our sins, that no matter what the circumstances may be, if we're persecuted or life is in danger, would we still have enough faith in Christ that he could deliver us from whatever circumstances we may get into? If we have a close relationship with Christ but find ourselves in a tough spot in our life, we will have enough faith to allow God to take control and help us out of that circumstance. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Put the whole armor of God on. That's what this passage is talking about. Be prepared for Satan's temptations. We know that Satan is out there to devour who he can. These two men that we just read about did exactly that. They built their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when Satan came and tested them, they were ready to win the war. So how do we put the whole armor on? How do we have an intimate relationship with our Lord? I came up with 8 points that might help us build a relationship with Jesus Christ. The first one, make time to draw close to Him. In Exodus 33, verse 11, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Moses seen God face to face. We don't have that opportunity to do that today, but through the Holy Spirit, we can talk to God and have a relationship with Him. When we make a new friend, how do we get to know that friend? We probably will spend time with them. We do things together. We get to know them on a personal basis by spending time with them. So is it with God as well. We need to talk to God and get to know who He is. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 24. Rejoice evermore. That's pretty explanatory. Rejoice forevermore that God is so gracious and so wonderful. Let's rejoice. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. How many of us do that? Pray without ceasing. I don't think it means that we need to be on our knees 24/7, but I think it means that God is in our minds. God is in our life at all times. Whatever we do and whatever we're thinking, whatever we listen to, and whoever we hang around with as friends, God is always there. We're allowing God to lead and guide us. And always be concerned about the next, helping the next, not gossiping about the next, but helping them. That's praying without ceasing. Just always being in with God and knowing what He is thinking and how He wants us to react in every circumstance. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When things go well, it's easy to give thanks. But when things aren't going so well and didn't go maybe our way, how easy is it to give thanks then? It is a little bit on the tougher side. But it says here, in everything give thanks. I know we haven't had rain for quite a while, and it was hard possibly to thank God for the heat and the sunshine when the crops were suffering. But you know, God is gracious and He's perfect. He doesn't make a mistake. We need to thank God in the tough times as well. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. The Spirit is in us. Let's not quench it. Let's not push it aside. Allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide us at all times. Despise not prophesying. Even when we see maybe different things going around in our world today, if it is part of prophecy, let's not be going around groping and complaining about what's going on. I know things may not be like we thought they should be, but God is still in control of everything. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. The Bible is there for a reason, to prove different things. Before we complain, let's go to the Bible and let's prove it. The Bible is the Word of God. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. This is very important. That we act and look like that we love God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Let's not try to get ourselves into a situation where we might get into trouble. Let's run away from it. Let's stay away. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I will pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's just another verse to tell us that we need to put the Lord Jesus Christ on. That he is covering us. He is with us at all times. And we know he will be, but we need to allow him to be. Put him on. That's our decision to make. So the second, revere him. Feel deep respect for God. Psalms 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant. While we enjoy closeness with God, our intimacy with him is also built on a deep reverence for him. When you find a friend, a new friend, or found a partner you wanted to marry, what did you do to get to know them better? You started spending time with them, listening to what they had to say, and you told them who you were. And the more time you spent together, the more you got to know who each other was. If we remember that the God of this universe is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, I wonder if we would want to have a better relationship with him. Again, that's our choice. Do we want to? We know he wants to. As we befriend our King with reverence, he will confide in us what's upon his heart. Number three. Listen to him to tell us what's on his heart. John 15:15-17 reads as follows. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask of the Father, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Just as friends would listen attentively to what each other are saying, so we too can cultivate our friendship with Jesus when we pay close attention to what he reveals to us about the Father's business. Psalms 46:10-11. These are still one of my favorite verses. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. I sometimes think, especially even in my own life, are we too busy working, going about, doing different things? And God is trying to get a hold of us and talking to us, but we're too busy. Be still and know that I am God. Allow God to enter in, but we have to take time to listen to him. Sometimes I wonder why God isn't talking to me, but I haven't taken the time to listen. Let's listen to him. Number four, rejoice at his counsel and trust his correction. When we read the counsel of God in the Bible, do we see it as a tedious rules to follow, or do we delight in his wise instruction to us? Proverbs 27, verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend be hearty counsel. When our close friends give us good, sincere counsel, we appreciate them deeply for it. Or do we? A measure of how much we are a friend to God is how much we find joy in the plentiness of his counsel to us in his word. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. So here we read that the doctrine, the Bible, is there for reproof, for our correction, and for instruction. Let's read it. There are probably times that our friends would correct us out of love. It may hurt us for a while, but we know that they care for us and want to see us grow. We wouldn't like for them to only tell us what tickles our ears, would we? Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Similarly, God rebukes us from time to time when we aren't walking right, because he loves us and desires us to grow in maturity. Do we trust the rebukes of our friend Jesus, who always knows better than us? We know that his ways are much higher than ours. We sometimes think that this is better for us, but God knows, because he can see how it's going to turn out. We can't see that, so let's trust him. Number 5, obey what's on his heart. It's not just enough to listen to God telling us what's on his heart, including his counsel and correction for us. We also must do what he confides in us. John 15, 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. We build our relationship with God when we obey what God commands us to do. Number 6, celebrate and not compete with him. When John the Baptist was being compared to Jesus, he didn't claim glory for himself, but exalted Jesus. We see that in John 3, verses 29 to 30. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. It wouldn't be a healthy relationship with our friends if we were competing with them. We try to work with them. In the same way, it would not be a healthy relationship with Christ. We need to listen and work together with him. Romans 12, 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We feel with our friends. Good friends rejoice with them and also weep with them. We put our arms around them when they are sorrowful. That's a good friend. Number 7, have a pure heart and speak with grace. Psalms 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Proverbs 22:11. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Since God is the king of heaven and earth, might this verse also speak to what he looks for in a friend. I'm going to read that verse again. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Who wouldn't enjoy hanging out with friends who carry purity in their heart and convey graciousness in everything they say and do? Perhaps as we grow toward becoming a person like that, the king will enjoy our friendship with him all the more. Number 8, love him unwaveringly, intimately, and sacrificially. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Loving God as a friend involves loving him loyally. In spite of difficulties, loving him intimately and loving him self-sacrificially, just as he loved us. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. We know that in our lives, sometimes we think we have a friend, but when things go tough, we know who our real friends are. Here it says in Proverbs, a friend loveth at all times. It doesn't matter if it's tough times, good times. It doesn't matter. They love each other all the time. Some people say when they're going through a tough time in their life, that's when you find out who your real friends are. Are we a true friend? Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's remember that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are we building treasures in heaven or for ourselves here on earth? We know that they will fade away, they will disappear, and we will leave this earth one day. And that one day when we leave this earth, we will soon realize if we have made treasures in heaven or on earth. Because that's the day we'll know when we're going to see Jesus face to face, or we're going to go the other way. Let's build treasures in heaven. Very important. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Let's not quench the Holy Spirit inside of us. Let's always be joined together with one accord with Christ. That would be my wish and prayer for each one of you listening today, that we will be joined together with one accord with Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we looked into your word this morning, and we've seen that you want to be our friend. Give us strength that we can be your friend, that we can do your will, and that we can allow ourselves to come towards you and Learn more about your word and learn more about you, that we can have the strength to read your words and the Bible and spend time with you. Write verses on a piece of paper and put them on a wall, that we can always see it. Give us that strength, Lord, and encouragement that we can do these things, that Satan will not have a spot to enter in. Be with us, Lord, as we go from here, that this message and your words will have penetrated in our hearts, and that we can have a deeper relationship with you. Be with each and every one of us, in thy precious name, amen. At this time, we'll have two songs.
In the blue hymnals, number 106, I'd rather have Jesus. 106.
Each step I take. Page 290.
Again, two very fitting songs. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus. And then each step I take just leads me closer home. Let's take that step this week. Let's start spending time, more time with God. I trust that you all spend time with God, but I think we all can spend more time with Him, including myself. That'll be my wish and prayer for each one of you today. So if you could all bow with me for the benediction, is out of number 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Walk carefully. The Lord is watching. Thank you.